Hello, my lovely people. Today I want to talk about being alone, but not lonely, because I think this is something that a lot of people in their 20s deal with, and it's something that I'm still working on myself. The difference between being alone and lonely is that being alone is a physical thing, but being lonely is an emotional thing. And we can still feel loneliness even when we're surrounded by a bunch of people, and I think that's when I learned about the difference between those two things, because I've definitely been in situations where I was surrounded by a bunch of people but still felt really lonely. And I think in my teenage years, I just kind of put up with that and I didn't really question it. But now in my 20s, as I'm longing for more meaningful relationships and as many 20-something-year-olds, I think that we just become more conscious of the people we surround ourselves with, because we already don't have a lot of time to be social. We have to really be careful about, really be intentional about the way we spend our time and the way we spend our energy. And for the longest time, I thought that, okay, I'm feeling lonely around these people, so I'm probably just surrounding myself with the wrong people. And if you've ever experienced something similar or are experiencing something similar or working on something similar, I invite you to think about this question. Are you lonely because you're surrounding yourself with the wrong people? Are they not giving you the energy and love that you need? And if that's the case, can you communicate those needs better? Can you let them know what you need in a friendship or in a romantic relationship? Or maybe you just realize that right now, in this very moment where you are in life, these people that may have served you in the past and may have given you the love and understanding that you used to need, but now things have changed and you might feel like you need to back away from those people for a while. Like I mentioned, for me, my first instincts when I felt lonely was to blame all the people around me, that they were the reason why I felt lonely. And there's definitely been groups of people that I've removed myself from because I feel like we no longer serve each other. But I also learned that it's not only about other people, and that it can also, this feeling of loneliness can also come from my own relationship with myself. I always identified myself as an introvert. I noticed that I definitely recharge when I'm alone. So I never really thought about the idea of not being comfortable being alone or not liking to be alone, because I always had a pretty positive connection with being alone. I knew I needed it in order to recharge. But the more I was questioning this feeling of why am I feeling so lonely around certain people, and do I really enjoy my own company? Can I make myself laugh? Can I make myself feel understood? Can I make myself feel loved? Am I actually really comfortable with being alone? And the thing I started to struggle with is this idea that we are humans and we have social needs, and it's okay to long that social need. It's okay to want to be around other people. But I think that there was a point where I was looking too much at other people to entertain me and validate me, understand me, love me, all these things that I think I forgot, or I never properly learned myself how to give those things to myself. And like I said, it's human nature for us to want to get these things from other people. And I'm not saying that we should only get it from ourselves, but I do think we should be able to give those things to ourselves. And I am currently reading this book called The School of Life, and it said the following: unless we are alone, we are at the risk of forgetting who we are. And it talked about this idea that if you're spending all your time listening to other people, responding to other people, it can lead to too much demand, and that can distract you from listening to your own demand and listening to your own needs, and you'll forget to listen to your own thoughts and your own needs, your own demands. And that made me reflect. I think that there's something so beautiful about giving. And the older I get, the more I start to appreciate giving. When I was young and someone talked about this idea of giving, I always thought about giving materials and gifts. But the older I get, the more I value giving people your time, people your energy, giving your thoughts or just being able to listen, those have become really important things in my life. But I think it's important to remember that we can't give anything to others if we don't give to ourselves first. The book also talked about this idea that not every emotion or thought is directly felt or processed. So when you're talking with someone, you might get all these thoughts or emotions. Maybe someone said something that made you anxious, or someone said something that gave you this creative idea or like this ambition to go do something. Or all these things can happen when you have conversations with people. And I do think that bigger thoughts or bigger feelings, if you start to have a lot of them, you kind of like store them in the back of your head, or we don't process them. And if we don't process them, that we can't really feel them, or we'll never really do anything with them, right? And it just feels like such a waste, I guess. And it can also feel pretty overwhelming, I can imagine. I think I used to see this concept of being alone as recharging, because I was such an introvert. So to me, being alone just felt like, okay, I need to recharge my energy so I can go out and be social again. But now I start to realize that it doesn't only have to do with me and my energy, but also others. Because if I recharge, if I process my thoughts and feelings, if I have my alone time, I will be able to be such a better friend, such a better partner, such a better family member when I am recharged. So I need my alone time in order to be a better person when I am not alone. I am getting better at asking for alone time, but I still feel like it's sometimes a challenge. I feel like we live in a society where it's way more normal or way more understanding if you tell someone, hey, I can't hang out today because I need to finish up something of work or something, or I have a work project to finish, rather than saying, oh, I can't hang out today because I need to be alone. I'm really lucky that I've met people or have people in my life now that understand that and understand that don't find it weird, at least, if I communicate like, hey, I can't hang out today, I just really need to be alone right now. And I think this has everything to do with communicating boundaries, which is something that I've really struggled with as a teenager. And as a kid, I found it always really hard to say no. I wanted to please everyone. I was a real people pleaser, and everything was always okay. And there came a point where it just got too much, and it's something I'm still working on. I'm still working on communicating my boundaries, but I think that's a big part of being alone but not lonely, you know, knowing how to communicate when you do need to be alone and what are the intentions behind that. I also want to talk about this idea of asking for alone time or having alone time when you're in a relationship or if you live with someone. In my case, it's both of those things. I'm in a long relationship and I also live with someone, and I've talked about this before, but in the beginning I found it so hard to communicate that I wanted alone time, and I just felt guilty about it. I felt like when I asked to be alone, I felt like I was asking, like, I don't want to be around you, I'd rather be alone. And that again has to do so much with communicating those boundaries and how you do it and letting someone know the intention behind it and the reason behind it. Of course, being home alone is the ultimate way for me to actually be alone, but I've also learned to cherish just being in a room alone. I used to live in a studio, and that it just had one room, and now I'm really lucky that I have at least one bedroom. So we have two separate rooms, and I've really learned to appreciate my time alone, even if it's not home alone, but it's I'm in a room alone. But whenever I am home alone, I just love to dance. I really love listening to music when I'm alone and singing, and I think there's something really liberating about just moving and dancing around in your little pajamas or underwear and singing in the mirror. I used to think that was a bit silly, and I remember thinking at some point, like, damn, I'm in my 20s and I still enjoy doing this. But the more I talk to other people about this, the more I realize I'm definitely not alone, and there's something really healing about dancing and singing on your own. I also love journaling when I'm alone, but I also really love voice noting to my friends, and sometimes it's just a quick update, but sometimes it also feels like I'm journaling out loud to them, and they'll send me their little like voice note of how they're doing, or yeah, their thoughts. And I don't know if that's fully being alone because you're still voice noting, but I think when you live with someone, it's different when you are home alone and you get to those little voice notes and things. I think it's also important to understand when you need to be alone. And I'm still working on this. What I try to do is not to plan too much in advance. But I think there's something good about that, or at least for me, that I feel like I can kind of see how I'm feeling that week and see if I'm like up for a big social interaction or not. And yeah, I feel like I have a bit more control over that, because like there's nothing worse than you plan super in advance and then the day comes and you're like totally not in the mood. And sometimes you can push through it, and if you're around the right people, they'll lift you up. But sometimes you just feel like, oh, I don't want to force it. I don't want to force this. I want to be in my little cocoon. So I think not planning too much, at least too much events in advance. Like I said, like in your 20s, planning in advance is something you just kind of have to do. But I try to limit the amount of plans I make. I try to at least have one little social event a week. I still think that's not a lot, considering I also work from home, so it's not like I see a lot of people during my work. But yeah, I think that's something I'm still working on. Another thing that's really helped me to be alone but not lonely is to understand in what social situations I thrive. I've really noticed that I don't thrive in very big groups. I thrive in one-on-one conversations or in little groups, but especially if it's meeting up with new people, I sometimes still throw myself in those situations of just going and doing it. And sometimes it of course depends on the people, but yeah, sometimes if I'm in a too big group and I don't know the people, I just get a little bit of like social anxiety, and I feel like I kind of forget who I am, and I don't feel like I'm always myself. And I think it takes time to open up with people, and it just takes me some more time. So I think understanding those different social interactions and understanding which one I thrive with makes it easier for me to communicate what I need, and makes it easier for me to not get myself in situations where I'm going to be really drained. I want to take just another second to preface that it is so okay to want to be alone. It is so okay as well to crave social interaction. Like I said, I think it's a human thing for us to crave interaction, but there's something really powerful about being comfortable with your own company as well. Not forgetting who you are, still forming your own opinions, and still being able to hype yourself up. And I think all those lessons that we learn how to do it for ourselves, and then we can apply it to other people. Learning to understand myself, learning to hype myself up, learning to cheer myself on when I'm making a risky move will help me to do the same for a friend or for a family member or for a partner. Like I said before, this is something that's still in progress for me as well. And I think that it's something that comes up in our 20s, because that's usually the time where everyone starts taking their own path in life. You know, we kind of go separate ways if you compare it to high school, where we were seeing each other every day and we were taking the same classes, kind of almost. We were in the same school, and then everyone goes to different colleges, and then you graduate from college and everyone works at a different company. Or yeah, it's typically the time where everyone starts going their own way, and I think that makes it a bit easier to feel lonely. I really hope that you enjoyed this. Please let me know if you did and what you thought of the episode. And please rate it on Spotify. I see the ratings coming in, so it makes me so excited to see that more people are liking the show and listening to it on Spotify. My goal is eventually to move it only to Spotify. But I know that a lot of people still listen on YouTube. So yeah, I'm still trying to figure out how to balance that. But even so, I appreciate every single one of you and your messages and your love, your support. It really means a lot to me, and I really appreciate it. And I don't think I can say it enough how much I appreciate it and how much it helps me to feel like I'm not alone in certain things. Like I'm not alone in this roller coaster of my 20s. Tomorrow is my birthday, actually. And usually I think about it all month. I'm like, oh, it's going to be my birthday end of the month. But This month has been a little bit busy, but beautiful busy and really exciting busy. But now I'm like, shit, tomorrow's my birthday. 26. Either way, I will speak to you guys next week. Love y'all. And love y'all.